Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. Welcome those that are joining us online as well. Happy Mother's Day. I'm not really an expert on mothers. I'm for sure a son who doesn't call enough, probably a husband who has watched a wife pour herself into three kids, and I just kind of just show up at times, you know. Also, I guess a minister who gets to stand up once a year and say what we probably ought to say a whole lot more often. Of course, today being Mother's Day, just do something maybe a little bit different. Honor the women in this room, not just those that have gave birth, but all women. The Bible's vision of motherhood is certainly wider than biology. It is about a love that gives, love that stays, love that sacrifices, and a love that points someone towards God. Of course, my mom is one of the strongest people I've ever known, and I don't say that to diminish any of her tenderness. She was sort of that quiet and steady strength that held us together through a lot of difficult seasons. And you think, well, your dad did that too, but a lot of times dad was doing that with all of you all, and it was mom who was with us and taught us how to pray. She showed us what it looked like to love God without making a big show about it. Again, she taught me how to pray, how to serve. She was always in this building or the other one week after week, and I don't think ever because she had to be, maybe sometimes because she had to be because of dad, but most of the time it was because she wanted to be there, and she wanted myself and Becky and Angie and Travis to know something, that there was something out there that you could anchor your life to. And so that was sort of the kind of person that my mom was growing up. I'm certainly grateful for everything that you've done. And then I was pretty lucky to have married someone like Missy. And again, Missy raised our three kids with certainly more grace than I could ever manufacture on my best day. She was at every ball game, anytime they had an event, any kind of hard conversations, anything like that. That usually fell into Missy's wheelhouse. And she certainly didn't sign on to raise easy children, because she raised ours. And again, she did it with patience, did it with humor, with grit, and again with a love that I honestly don't have words that are adequate to do that. So both of those women, and of course many more of you in this room, I believe do fit in a pattern that the Bible draws again and again. And that pattern is a woman who, through faithfulness and through love, changes the world that's around her, not by making headlines. I'll just talk about a few women this morning, not as a history lesson, but more as a mirror, because the things that God honored in them are the same thing that God honors still today. Of course, Proverbs 31 verse 10 says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels." Probably every Mother's Day, we turn to Proverbs 31, right, and get some sort of lesson from those verses, but they're not supposed to be like a checklist that women are supposed to feel guilty about if they don't meet all of those things. That's not what this passage is. This is a husband and a community seeing a woman clearly for what she actually is, and having the honesty to say that she is remarkable. Verse 25 says that strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I really like that line, that she laughs at a time to come. It means that she has no worries. It's not that she laughs about the future. It just means that her foundation is deep enough that the future does not terrify her. That's not her personality. That is faith. Verse 28 says that her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently but you surpass them all. And I guess that overall is what I want to impress this morning, to say to every mother, grandmother, aunt, sister, somebody who has loved someone like a mother would, you surpass them all. Not because you were perfect, right? But because you showed up. Day after day, you have shown up in someone's life. On Wednesday nights, we've begun studying the book of Samuel. And Samuel starts with a story that probably doesn't get told near enough. His mother's name is Hannah, and she wants a child more than anything else in the world. And Scripture tells us that she's been barren her whole life. She's wept, she's prayed, she's poured her heart out to God at the house of worship so earnestly that the priest who witnesses her doing that thinks she's drunk. But the truth is God hears her. And she conceives and she gives birth to a son who is Samuel, who's going to go on to be one of the greatest prophets in all of Israel's history. But I think the part that gets me is that after Samuel is weaned, Hannah keeps her promise. Hannah brings him back to the place of worship and then gives that promised baby back to the Lord. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, Hannah says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." Hannah gave her best gift back to God. And that is kind of the kind of faith that any of us could aspire to. Samuel would go on to anoint David. He's going to call Israel back to God. He's going to speak the word to the darkness of that generation. And all of this runs through Hannah's willingness to let that go. And I think that's something that mothers should know. That you pour into a child and then slowly you begin opening your hands. And that is not a loss. That is faithfulness. That is Hannah's moment. And God honors it. If we look over to the New Testament, Paul, we find him writing his young apprentice Timothy. And he says something that should make us stop when we read it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." The two women in this verse never appear anywhere else in Scripture, Lois and Eunice. We don't have their sermons. We don't have any of their writings, any of their ministry. What we have is the Apostle Paul telling a young preacher, one of his most trusted men, that the faith he carries began with his grandmother and his mother. And again, nobody handed Lois a microphone. Nobody gave Eunice a platform. They just lived it in their home, around their table, and in the way they handled the days, both good days and ordinary days and bad days. And that's what they built in Timothy. And that's what helped shape the early church. That, I think, is the quiet power of a faithful mother. You may never know the full reach of what you have planted. But God certainly does. I don't think we could probably spend any days talking about the Bible and mothers without pausing at Mary. We like to talk about her quite a bit around December time, but Mary is a mother's life. Her life as a mother was not just at the manger. She watched her son, and no doubt that was confusing at times. She watched him leave home and go to preach. She stands at the foot of the cross while he dies, and she's at the upper room when the Spirit falls upon the disciples at Pentecost. Luke tells us a little bit of something about how she handled the weight of all this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." She treasured them. She thought about them. She certainly didn't understand everything. I don't think probably any new mother does. but she held it all with this kind of holy attention. That she's trusting God who this is his story and he's in control of it even when the story can become painful. No doubt there are some of you here today who are carrying something heavy. A child that was lost, a relationship that was broken, a grief that you haven't been able to put into words yet. We should hear Mary's example. You don't have to have all of the answers. You can treasure and you can ponder and you can trust, and God is faithful to meet you there. Sort of as we kind of round things up this morning, I want to ask to talk about something a little bit directly. You know, not everyone here, not every woman in this room is a mother. Some have wanted to be, and it just hasn't happened. Some may be walking through that grief right now, and Mother's Day can be a complicated morning. But it's also a morning where you were seen, and I hope you were honored as well today. Scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you." God's love for you is not contingent on your role. It is grounded in who he is. And the family of God is wide enough to hold all of us, right? The mothers, the childless, the grieving, the hopeful, the ones who've mothered children who are not biologically theirs. There are women here who have mentored, loved, encouraged, and held people together through difficult times. That is a form of mothering, and it is not unseen by God. The writer of Proverbs says in 31 verse 30 that charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Again, a woman who fears the Lord, who loves the Lord, is to be praised. Again, the writer doesn't say a perfect woman, not a woman who never gets it wrong or never breaks down or never wonders if she's doing enough. A woman who fears the Lord, a woman whose anchor is in the right place. And I hope that's who we honor today. That's certainly who God honors today. And so for all of our moms, we thank you for anchoring us. We thank you, if you're married, we thank you and you have children for helping and doing most of the raising of the children. We want you to know that you're seen and you're loved and you're certainly not forgotten. The greatest gift I think a mother can give a child is a life that is lived for Christ. And the greatest gift that any of us can give the people who love us is to be found in Christ. And so this morning, if you are here and you haven't given your life to the Lord, we want to invite you to do that today. The gospel is simple, but the gospel is true. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on that third day. And he calls us to respond to that, to believe that, to repent of our sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of them, just as Peter would tell that crowd on the day of Pentecost. If you're a Christian and you've wondered, the door is open as well. We beg you to come home. If you need prayer, if you need the family of God to stand with you in some way, that's what we're here for. That is what the church is for. And so this morning, if you have a need, please make it be known as together we stand and we sing.